This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
We're efforting to get former Ravens kicker Matt Stover on the program. Matt Stover is a Ring of Honor member of the Baltimore Ravens. Former All-Pro in 2000.
A lot of fans wore his jersey.
Second team All-Pro in 2006. Yes, another. Ravens have an interesting history with kickers. Is that like both Super Bowl teams, the kicker was a vital part of their scoring.
I mean, look, we talked about backup quarterbacks a lot on this show, and you don't care until you need them. And it's kind of similar with your specialists, your kicker and punters. And look, how much have we talked about return guys around here lately since area of play has slipped? And those are the kind of guys who can be the difference. And I mean, how many times does a return in a postseason game really shift momentum? Hey, we saw one in a Super Bowl with Jermaine Lewis. I mean, right when it looks like the Giants might have a pulse, forget about it.
Jacoby Jones
in the other Super Bowl,
So, yeah, it all matters. And I mean, the Tucker situation, look, different people will remember him in different ways. I know we've got a pull-up bone, and last time we gave those numbers, it was over 1,000 respondents, and most people, 56, 57%, were kind of like good riddance Tucker. Others think maybe he'll have an opportunity over time to get in the Ring of Honor. We don't know what else is going to come from this story or the NFL's investigation into it, but I think we do know at this point, it'll probably be quite some time before Justin Tucker's seen around here doing anything Ravens related.
To your point, over 1,300 votes, 57.8% no chance, 42.2 maybe one day. So it's going to take time. It was interesting though talking to the people today. Viv, Jeff, they feel like it's some. We'll get back to that in a minute, because joining us now, courtesy of the Window Nation fan guest hotline, Ring of Honor member, former Ravens kicker, Super Bowl champion, Matt Stover joins us now. And Matt, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So you have an interesting perspective. You kicked for this team. Just your reaction to everything kicker related with the Ravens, the announcement yesterday, they're releasing Justin Tucker.
Well, you know, as a kicker, you know, we're specialists, and I've seen everything under the sun from Bernie Kosar getting cut in the middle of the year, right? So I was around a long time. A lot of crazy things happens in the NFL, and I will say that Justin's a great talent. He's done such a great job for the Baltimore Ravens, and, you know, as a rookie, he even took him to the Super Bowl. So I will say that the Ravens have a fantastic support staff there with Randy Brown. You've got Chris, and you've got, you know, John Harbaugh, who was a special teams coach. A great snapper, a great holder, and those two guys. And so I really think that, Loop would be able to get in there and perform well. And from my thinking, what probably happened, what brought it to a head, is that he got there during this rookie mini camp and showed that he could actually do it. Mm-hmm. And that tells me that the Ravens had made their decision. They were just securing the position with this young guy, and he proved himself over the last week.
Matt, and now spinning it forward with Loop, just how difficult of a spot is it going to be for him to follow up the most accurate kicker in NFL history?
Well, I mean, the way you have to look at that is that there's always going to be a history, right? I replaced Matt Barr in Cleveland. Yeah. I mean, talking about a legend there, you know, I had to go in there, and I, what you do is you just give the guy kudos. You know, he did a great job for the organization, but, you know, every organization has to move on at some point. The NFL is going to go on without you, right? It some guys don't think it will, but it will. And you hope best for the organization, right? You really do. And for, you know, when Hauschka took over for me and they let him go, and Cundiff comes in and he's a Pro Bowler. And then, of course, Justin took that job. I mean, they've had a great run with kickers at the Ravens. And so it was going to happen eventually. And whoever's going to step in was going to have to follow somebody of greatness. And something tells me he's probably got a chip on his shoulder. I haven't met the kid, but sure, he's got a chip on his shoulder, and he'll go in there and perform well.
Matt, how tricky would it have been to try to have a kicker competition between these two if you've got, you know, the greatest kicker in NFL history, but one who's, you know, potentially still waiting to hear about his status from the league office for this season, kind of trying to fight to stay in the league with a kid who's got to replace him at some point if he's suspended, and he's just trying to figure out the league and figure out his new coaches and figure out his snapper and his holder, and these guys already have relationships with Tucker. How tricky could that have been?
It's very tricky when you go in there as a young guy. You got to keep your mouth shut, and you got to let your performance do the talking. That's what you do. You just don't say anything, and you just hope that you get the opportunity to be able to prove yourself. I did that and at the New York Giants my rookie season. Raul Allegre is the incumbent.
Yeah. Baltimore Colt kicker.
Yeah,
and I had to be very, very careful with what I said. In fact, Parcells told me to shut up before I kick a ball in a game, you know, so... You know, it's just what you do, and I've been there, and really the performance is what does the talk, and that's what he's got to do. He just needs to be humble. He needs to come in and know that Justin was a great kicker, and that, you know, I came out of there pretty much pretty good too, right? And so,
yeah.
I tried to say that with humility.
That's true. Facts are facts.
Yep.
And, you know, I just know that the organization set it up to where if he could prove himself right from the get-go, which he did already, they were going to make that decision anyways. It would have been really difficult, though, you know, in the media, in the team, you know, how to balance that. If they were together, that's exactly what he would have had to do. He had to go in there and just shut up. Let your performance do the talking.
Talking with Matt Stover, Inside Access here on the Fan. I think the last time we had you on, we talked about athletic mortality, and you kicked for one more year with Indianapolis, and just deciding when it was time to that it was over. But obviously, Justin's got other things going on here. But with that, do you think he kicks again?
I do, because his talent is still excellent. You know, he had a little off year last year. Not sure exactly why. We can all assume, right? But yeah. I haven't talked to him. So, you know, the thing about that is that there's going to be a team, as long as there's not going to be any issues where he couldn't play for the team, right, from suspension or whatnot. But something tells me he's going to get an opportunity, whether it's in our division or not. I'm not sure, but I do know that he's got some, you know, a lot of gas left in his tank, and I think he has a desire. And now he's actually probably got a chip on his shoulder that he wants to come back and, you know, show everybody that he can still do this.
Matt, what has it been like over these years just to see the kicker position just improve exponentially? Where Justin Tucker, he was one of the worst kickers percentage-wise last year at 73.3%. But you go back to when you were kicking when your career first started, that was probably pretty good at that point. Just, and Tyler Loop coming in, having made a 62-yarder last year. He was 6 of 9 on field goals from 50-plus yards. Just what has it been like seeing this kicker position just improve so much over the years?
Well, I will toot my horn a little bit. During the 2000s, I was the leading scorer, and I was 92% myself.
Damn right you were.
Yeah, I mean, and I would attribute that to a few things. One, the position got to be more knowledgeable. Back in the 80s, there was no coaching. In the 90s, there became more coaching, and in the 2000s, the position became a lot more skilled and a lot more coachable. I would say that the field conditions got better in the 2000s. Field turf came out. And that created a much better field surface so you could attack the ball and you wouldn't be slipping and sliding like I was in Cleveland during those 72, 73% years. And the municipal stadium authority, they were the ones who were taking care of the field, not the teams. Now it's mandated by the teams that they have to have a certain quality of a field conditions or they get fined up to $250,000 a game. Then you have the expansion of the deep snapper. Back in 1999 was the first time that I had a true deep snapper, not wasn't just a position player. And then the standard just got better because the better the snapper, the better the holder, and the better the holder, the better the ball gets down on the ground more consistently. You're not even thinking about it as a kicker because there were many a times back in the 90s that I was thinking about the holder and the snap, and you're just a mental midget out there trying to hang on. So it's something that's really became more proficient, and all those things equate to what you see today.
As much as things have advanced, I did a piece at the Washington Post and did a study last year, and I was shocked how few teams employ former kickers or punters as part of their special teams coaching staff and how few teams have more than one person handling special teams, while there's some teams that have three linebackers coaches. And I'm like, it kind of struck me. But how big of an advantage do you think it will be for Loop, the fact that he's got, you know, Sam Cook here, he's got a special teams coach, he's got Randy Brown, a kicking specialist whose kid is now the kicking specialist for the Eagles, so like he's kind of at the forefront of that, and you've got Harbaugh, who was a former special teams, successful special teams coach. Like, how much can that infrastructure help his development?
Well, I say that from the very beginning. It's huge. Look what Justin did his first year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and then you look at his next 10. So I would say that without question that there's no standard better than the Baltimore Ravens for that, for those positions, the snapper, the punter, the holder, the kicker, there's none better. And Randy Brown knows what he's doing. You remember, I worked 1 year with Randy when he had Hauschka. Hauschka was his project. And you know, Hauschka ends up, what, kicking 12 years in the NFL?
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, the guys know what they're doing, and you're right. Why would other teams not spend some money towards that type of that whole position, that process of making that proficient? If you watch, just watch this next year, the proficiency of the snap and a hold for that, those, for that guy, it is far beyond what any other team does in the NFL. It's over the spot, the laces are in front, he sits it down, right? And it's incredible how long of a look that the kicker gets on that ball when he's ready to kick it. It's just, it's way above whatever the rest of the league has.
Matt Stover, this has been incredible. Incredible insights on the position.
Thank you.
We appreciate your perspective and your time.
Yeah, you bet. And I just wish the best for Justin. I really do. I'm sorry that all this is going on, and I really hope that his marriage and everything is going to be kept together. And it's just tough for any person. But, you know, God bless him. And I know that the Ravens will be in good hands with what they've decided to do.
Matt Stover, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Hey, Amy Trask, former Raider exec, is going to join us at 5:30. But coming up next, get some Orioles and the lineups out. And also, has Jackson Holliday figured something out? We're going to tell you next year on The Fan.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Orioles and Twins, first of three. Before we get to Jackson Holliday, the lineup: Cedric Mullins leading off in center field, Gunnar Henderson, the shortstop, batting second, Adley Rutschman batting third behind the plate, Ryan O'Hearn, your DH, batting fourth, Ryan Mountcastle is at first base batting fifth, Jackson Holliday batting sixth at second base, Heston Kerstedt batting seventh in right field, Kobe Mayo at third base batting eighth, and Dylan Carlson is your left fielder batting ninth.
Yeah, this is another park that's pretty big outfield, a lot of volume there, so we'll see. And some kind of quirky second row, like the second level hangs over at weird angles, so we'll kind of see what that means for Heston. Jackson moving up makes sense. Jackson Holliday's last 15 games as a slash line of 341, 449, 561. That is a 10-10 OPS. He has just 10 strikeouts in those 15 games, which is a vast improvement from a year ago. And most interestingly to me, in his last 13 games, he's walked six times. In his first 78 major league games, he walked 16 times. That's huge. Right now, you go to StatCast, this kid's in the 73rd percentile in launch angle sweet spot, 75th percentile in squaring the ball up, 88th percentile in chase, meaning he's not chasing balls outside of the zone. That was a big problem for him last year. 69th percentile bone in batting run, basically his overall batting percentile in terms of run value. Hopefully this is him turning a corner and rounding into a professional hitter.
Yeah, and this obviously extends beyond the April 22nd because it's 15 games. This is just a 10-game sample size. But Jackson was in the midst of a 3-for-31 slump after that opener against the Nats on April 22nd. And at that point, it was when his dad, Matt Holliday, reached out.
His dad is not a wizard or a warlock or employed by any of the thousand people employed to make this baseball team better at the warehouse. None of them.
He knows a thing or two about playing baseball at a high level.
And his boy.
And reached out to him about adjusting his posture, his hand placement on the bat. And since that point, and in that first game, he went 2-for-3, by the way. Since that point, 11-for-27. So that's a .407 batting average, Ken Wyman.
I'm big on that.
And he has at least one hit in 8 of those 10 games.
I know the 2-home run game got people excited. That's not his calling card. And I cringe a little bit. I get a little scared when he does start popping the ball, because we've seen these young hitters, as much as they were trained supposedly not to do it, chase poolside power and chase the long ball and get into bad habits. This kid should be destroying the ball gap to gap with a bunch of doubles and legging out infield hits. And I want to see his speed incorporated into his game more.
Do you know what was even more impressive, though, to me, to your point? He has the 2 home runs, and then he faces a lefty in his last at bat and crushes an opposite field base hit.
Yes, that approach against lefties will hopefully give him more of a runway against future lefties.
Who knew he could hit lefties?
This team needs all the help they can get. Hitting lefties will be an interesting one tonight. Slim facing his old franchise.
Yeah.
And Pablo Lopez, who had a little bit of a rough start to the season, has settled in pretty nicely right now. So we'll see what Slim's like. He has not typically been that good on the road. And we still don't know who's starting tomorrow, right?
No, we do not. No. By the way, a couple of notes from our friend Rockabatko from Masson. Zach Eflin has side session tomorrow, said he feels great, just waiting to find out when he's reinstated and starts for the Orioles. Also today, Tyler O'Neill is scheduled to begin a rehab assignment with AAA Norfolk. So a couple of notes there.
Yeah, you can take your time with Tyler O'Neill as far as I'm concerned. And I think Eflin's pitching in the next series.
Yeah, I think you're right. Coming up next, more about the release of Justin Tucker. We'll talk to someone who has... Hey, we've had a lot of great perspectives today. And just a few minutes ago, we were talking to Matt Stover, kick for the Ravens. Now we talk to Amy Trask, and she was the CEO of the Raiders. So from the business standpoint of the NFL, we'll get Amy Trask's thoughts on the Justin Tucker release next here on The Fan. Inside Access here on a Tuesday, and joining us now to talk about the big Ravens news, obviously yesterday, the release of Justin Tucker. She's an analyst for CBS Sports, and the former CEO of the Raiders, it's Amy Trask, who joined us courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. And Amy, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So let's go back to yesterday. Ravens released a statement around 5 o'clock announcing the release of Justin Tucker. What did you think of the timing of the release, and what did you think of the statement itself?
Well, I'm going to start in reverse order, if that's okay with you. The statement didn't surprise me at all. That's the way most teams do things. They put out statements that are gracious and graceful. Look, I worked for a team where we occasionally put out statements that were all caps and not particularly graceful, not particularly graceful. Jason, I'm sure you remember.
I'm thinking of a few.
Yeah, like how about the one that was put out that said mongerer in it? They called someone a rumor mongerer. And I didn't even know we were putting that statement out. I didn't see it until it went public. And I went racing into Al's office. I was shaking. I was so angry. And all I could think to say was, mongerer is not even a word. So, look, you know, most teams do things in the manner the Ravens did. Not every team, like the one I worked for, puts out sort of raging statements with words that aren't actually words in them. So the statement didn't surprise me. And to answer the first part of your question, neither did the timing.
So obviously there's lawyers involved in this, probably layers of lawyers, and you want to make sure that you put your owner in a position where he can release this player and you reap the maximum financial benefits from it and salary caps benefit from it. But I also wonder, Amy, about the cost-benefit analysis from a PR standpoint. Like they kept Justin Tucker on this roster for months longer than they could have made the argument he's not a good kicker right at the end of the season when these allegations came out and released him for football reasons then. I just wonder what have you been a part of decisions like that? How do you sort of weigh the cost-benefit analysis of, hey, we're losing the war of PR. Hey, the radio station in town is doing a poll and 2,000 people respond and 80% of them want this guy gone. You know what I mean? How do you weigh that?
Well, I think there's a number of things that you factor into any sort of decision like this. Certainly, a team's legal department might well be involved. So, too, is the finance department. So, too, is salary cap management. So, too, is public relations. Mm-hmm. All of the things that you identified. Money, cap consequences, PR, and locker room. You just drafted a kicker. So to give the new kicker the best chance to, and I'll use sort of a trite phrase, win that locker room mm-hmm. over, close quote, or I forgot the opening quote, which kind of bugs me, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
You know, if you want to give that new kicker a chance to become ingrained with the team and not have any sort of, is it him or is it him? And, well, we love Justin or we don't love Justin. Giving your new kicker the best chance is also factored into that decision. So I think every department in the organization would have had a view on that. And most good organizations listen to all the different departments and then make the best decision they can.
Amy, I do want to get back to the statement, and I totally understand what you're saying, and the Ravens want to distance themselves away from the investigation, but did it seem like they maybe went a little over the top in their praise of Justin Tucker in the midst of all of this?
I don't have the statement in front of me. I did see it. When I read it, my reaction was that they were being gracious, as you just noted. Some people will absolutely think it went too far. Others will think, you know, no, it did not. I can only hope that the statement was reviewed by everyone in the organization and that when it was released, everyone from ownership on down was on board with the content. Because what you don't want in a situation like that is your PR or your communications department releasing a statement only to have others in the organization say, wait, what did you do? We didn't even get a chance to look at that.
We're talking to my friend Amy Trask, who is an NFL expert for CBS. So, Amy, we live in a society where we're kind of start to play things forward immediately, and we've barely had time to maybe marinate on this. But, like, Justin Tucker, for a decade or so, was the number one selling jersey on this team. He was the face of the franchise. He had more local endorsements than every other athlete in this town combined, including Lamar Jackson, including, you know, Ed Reed, who overlapped with him at the very beginning of his career. So he's in a little bit of a different sort of echelon here than any probably kicker in NFL history. But this town also was sort of torn apart by the reporting in the Baltimore Banner. How do teams handle eventually deciding if this player is worthy of further decoration? Is this a number that gets retired? Is this a ring of honor? Do you just let this continue to play out in the NFL's sort of court and in the court of public opinion?
Well, I think there's a lot that remains to be played out. There are legal proceedings that are ongoing. There's a league investigation that's ongoing. The resolution of those matters is going to go a long way in dictating how the team proceeds going forward. If ultimately Justin prevails in his defense, with both respect to the legal proceedings and the league proceeding, that's one thing. If not, that's an entirely different thing. So there's a lot to play out. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned the point about the manner in which he was regarded and all of that. I failed to mention when we were discussing all of the things that go into a team's analysis of whether or not to release a player is the value of that player to the team. And that's just being very, very frank about business. If they believe they have a new kicker in the locker room that can replace Justin, at a minimum be his equal, if not supersede what he did last year, that's going to factor in as well. I remember very, very, very early in my career, we were on the team buses. For those who don't know, the team buses pull up to the team facility. When you're going on a road game, everybody boards at the team facility. The team buses take you to the airport. And we were sitting for a few minutes, and again, this is the beginning mm-hmm. of my career. Someone shared this wisdom with me. The buses will wait for some players. Mm. And that was that football guy's way of telling me, I guess Andrew Brandt expresses it, the greater the talent, the greater the tolerance. The way it was explained to me was, the buses will wait for some players, they're not waiting for all players. So an analysis of Justin's, you know, abilities is going to factor into all of these decisions, or did factor into these decisions as well.
Amy, Jason asked you about his post-football life and some of the things, Ring of Honor, Hall of Fame. What about his career? Like, and maybe the lawyer in you is reluctant to answer, but is there a road back for him to play football again, maybe somewhere else?
I guess it all, I mean, I'll and thank you for recognizing the lawyer in me, because, you know, my immediate reaction is to say, Your Honor, objection, assumes facts, not in evidence, calls for a hypothetical. Yeah, that would be the better one, calls for a hypothetical. It really will depend on the way the legal matters proceed. There are suits pending against him. There's a league investigation going on. If it is determined he did not do that, he's been accused of things. If it's proven that he did them, entirely different than if he can prove he did not.
We're speaking to Amy Trask, former CEO of the Raiders. It's Inside Access on The Fan. And Amy, in the midst of all of this, the Ravens ended up taking a chance on Mike Green, who has been accused of sexual assault in his past twice during the draft. Ian Rappaport said in real time that he was taken off the draft board for several teams. Several teams didn't like what he heard, what they heard in the interview process. Were you surprised that the Ravens would take a chance on Mike Green in the draft, given all of this going on with Justin Tucker?
My hope is that they did extensive, did I say that enough times? research into determining whether or not those allegations were true or not. And if they either didn't do the research or weren't entirely confident that they're not true, then yes, it is very surprising. It's probably somewhat surprising no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been quite a time here lately. And I guess they're assuming Justin Tucker wants to continue, then all this proceeds. But if no one signs him for a while, could this thing just sort of go away, Amy? Like, you know, the league kind of plays by its own rules on a lot of these matters. And if no one is calling the league for further clarification on Justin Tucker's status, then I just wonder if this kind of gets put on the back burner.
You mean the league
investigation and any clarity about his further status and the timetable for any of that?
Possible, but I think what will happen will be dependent in large part on the outcome of the lawsuits that are pending.
Amy, this has been great. Oh, we always love catching up with you. Thank you so much for your time.
I really appreciate the opportunity to join you. They're always intriguing topics and interesting questions, so thanks for having me.
Amy, thank you. Enjoy the beach, my friend.
And the jackhammer.
Thank you. And don't ever forget, Mongerer. Jason, I swear, I ran into his office and I was shaking, and all I could say was, Mongerer's not even a word.
If I ever have a fantasy football team again, and I might not, if I do, Amy, I will call them the Mongerers.
There you go. Brilliant.
Thank
all
you.
All right, take care, you guys.
Thanks, Amy Trask. We'll come back, get the text today, preview tomorrow's show, and get you ready for Infinity Sports Radio at 6 here on The Fan. We're just minutes away from Baltimore baseball tonight. Starts at 6 with The Bone and Jim Hunter. Before we get there, Bellway Ben, let's get the text of the day.
Check. Text of the day. Text of the day. Text of the day.
Text today is sponsored by Oarsman Automotive, driven by OarsmanCars.com. Your trade is always worth more at Oarsman. Shop their entire inventory now at OarsmanCars.com. Text today comes from Mike and Perry Hall, who says, the last time the Ravens had a rookie kicker on their roster, they won a Super Bowl. And when they did, that rookie kicker was the first Jim O'Brien of the 1970 Baltimore Colts, who was also a rookie kicker then.
They happen in threes. Maybe they happen in threes.
Jim O'Brien, I think, was the kicker they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Matt Stover, not a rookie.
Nobody was team Big Looper before us.
We were OG.
That, like, let's just get that established. That's fact.
OG on the looper, right? We're, away.
Maybe it might be a looper. I don't. I'm not a big jersey guy. Mm-hmm. Could there be a looper jersey in my future?
So we're in 33.
33?
Yeah.
You know, if I'm getting the big looper on the back. If I get it, it's getting the big looper on the back.
That's not a kicker number. You got to change that.
I guess now that everybody wears every number.
Oh,
yeah.
I know.
But you think you should wear 9, Bone?
Too soon?
Yeah.
I think it might be too soon.
Too soon?
I think it might be a little too soon.
The equipment guy already knows how to stitch it on. He's probably got a bunch of them. Just change the nameplate, put the big looper back there.
Yeah. I think maybe a different number. 33 is weird. It's for a kicker.
I mean, what's weird anymore? It's all out the window.
I'm old. I remember Tony Dorsett wearing 33.
That's my old man thing. I hate when the NFL.
You're oldie about that.
Yeah, I am. I am a traditionalist.
Get off my lawn, Bone.
And I think
Roquan Smith wearing a 0 at linebacker. Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. And they changed that way after third grade, so you're good.
Yeah,
you can bellyache about that. He's allowed.
Yeah,
you're fully in the club for that.
Oh, yeah. Barbalay's principle applies here.
So. It applies, yes, exponentially.
Yeah. Bone, what are we on tomorrow's show?
We have Jim Duquette. Talk O's with him. Tim Murray, get our best bets with him. Hall of Famer, not IA, but MLB. Tim Kirkchen will be joining us.
Nice.
And Ryan Ripken as well.
Oh, so hopefully the Orioles win so he can tell us they're fine. Coming up next, keep it locked in. It's Baltimore Baseball tonight. It's the Bone. It's Jim Hunter. And it's next here on The Fan.